I want to start us today with something very practical for one person in this room. So Teresa came and gave me a set of keys, and they belong to somebody in here. So I don't, is anybody, do they belong to some? Yeah, I'm getting, yeah, Richie's going to come get them, okay? So, no, you got yours, okay. So somebody in the room needs them. Okay, so here's what I will tell you. Come to me and talk to me if they're yours. That's okay. So here's the deal. I've got those keys right here, literally close to my heart. But here's what I'm hoping happens today is that there's something very practical for you with what we're going to be talking about today, right? And I'm going to share something really close to my heart, but it doesn't help you if you don't come up and receive it. Like, these keys do not help anybody if they stay in my pocket, to be honest. Like, they don't. And for you, you have to make that choice. Do I want to receive something today? Jesus is the one who chooses whether to give it or not, but you have to choose whether you want to receive it. So we're going to be talking about Maywood's vision today. What has God called us as a church to be? We've got a meeting after church about kind of the bones of Maywood or the structure of Maywood. But today I wanted us to talk about what's the purpose of Maywood, because that purpose is what we're rallying around as we follow Jesus. And I was praying with the worship team and some other folks that were here early this morning, and we always start off that prayer time with our vision passages. And we do it so much that some of them have started to memorize them. And so actually, just the two guys that said it today, I wanted to invite them to come and say these passages for you guys. So Mark, you were the one that said the first one. So the Great Commission, this is Jesus's final words to his disciples at the end of Matthew. And Mark, what does he say?
Yeah, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age."
Amen. We're going to unpack that here in a little bit. But Mark's put it into his heart, right? And our next passage, Ephesians 4, 7 through 13, put it on mic to say that today to the group.
"So to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's why he says, 'He who ascended on high took many captives and gave gifts to his people.' What does 'he ascended' mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? The one that descended is the very one that ascended high above the heavens to fill the whole universe. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to be equipped to do works of service until we reach unity in faith, knowledge for the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole fullness and measure of Christ."
Amen. So we're going to unpack that stuff, but they've put it in their heart because there's this dream of seeing it be real at Maywood. And so I want to tell you a little story, but we're going to get through it quick. So this next slide here, youth group, I was sitting in the youth Sunday school a while back, and they opened with this question they often do of, "Tell us about your high and your low for the week. Tell us about the best part of your week and the worst part of your week." And for me, a few days ago when I was thinking about that question, the best part of my week at that point had been this moment. I came home, Chrissy and the kids are out front in the yard playing, and Chrissy says, "Why don't we go back to the garden and see what is growing?" And right at first, the kids didn't want to stop playing, but then they did. And as soon as Samuel wanted to go, he wanted to hold my hand, and he wanted us to run to the garden, you know? So then we ran to the garden. And that was really the best part of my week. This is some of the stuff we've been getting out of the garden lately. Those little orange cherry tomatoes are really good. And what this is, though, this is first fruits. If you've ever grown any sort of plants that's produced anything, it's exciting to have the very first stuff that's coming off of the plant, right? And it gives you this motivation for more. And hopefully, if the garden works out this year, there'll be buckets and buckets of tomatoes is what we're hoping. But you start with something. And today, those passages that they read to us today, or they said to us, those have a whole lot that Jesus can do if we're obedient to those passages. But I do believe already at Maywood there's some first fruit. There's some taste of what God has coming. And so when I looked at those passages this week, if we go to this next slide, here's the three things that I want us to talk through today. There's a lot in those passages, but I want us to talk about that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus saved us and he gave us each something, and that we're called to spread Jesus together. These are real basic things, but whether this is your first day at Maywood or whether you've been here for 100 years, the idea is like this is where we're trying to head. These are very simple things, but they're really beautiful when lived out. So let's look at these passages. We're going to hit them pretty fast, but here's Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So where's this idea that Jesus is Lord? That's what this verse is saying. Jesus is saying, I am literally the boss of everything. I'm the legitimate authority over everything. Whatever is happening in your life, you can put your trust in Jesus and in his authority, right? And in your own personal life, you can submit to this and say, I'm going to be following this verse by giving Jesus lordship of my life. The Lord of your life is who you obey. And so if Jesus is your Lord, there's this idea of you should have things in your life that you do that thing or you say that thing because Jesus told you to. Not because it was the easiest or the most comfortable or made you feel the best in the moment. But if Jesus is your Lord, there should be things you can point to and say, I do this. I wake up and do this morning meditation, or I get on my knees and pray, or I talk to that person, or I'm kind to that person because Jesus told me to. There should be some of that in your life. Verse 19, therefore, here's Jesus' command to us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So disciples of all nations, that means it doesn't matter what skin color somebody is, what country they live in, doesn't matter any of that stuff. Jesus desires a relationship with them. Jesus desires that they be his disciple. And he kind of defines discipleship for us with two things. First, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you've made this commitment, and kind of the public show of that personal commitment is baptism. But that commitment is, I'm done with my old ways and I want to live for Jesus. And baptism is kind of like the wedding ceremony almost of that decision. It's the time where you celebrate that you're saying, I'm done with my old life and I'm raising up to a new life. Verse 20 is the second part of that discipleship. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So to be a disciple of Jesus means you come to that moment where you decide, I don't want my life, my old ways. I want to follow Jesus. And then you start growing in your ability to do the things that Jesus does. That's what following him is. You imitate what Jesus does. And here's this awesome promise. We talked last week about we can participate in the divine nature by on the promises of God. And that first promise is Jesus has authority. The second promise is surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus promises to be with us. There's a lot of things in life that we're not promised. We're not promised more time. We're not promised health. We're not promised a whole bunch of friends or family around us all the time. But here's a promise from Jesus that he's not going to leave you. He's a gentleman. He'll let you walk away from him, but he is not going to leave you. Right? So we'll go back to our kind of three things. Jesus is Lord. We saw that. He has all this authority. Jesus saved us. And here we see he gave us this mission, right? And we spread Jesus together. He didn't give that. Any of that command wasn't to one person. It was to the group of his disciples. And all the command there, it's a plural command. We're called together to go and help people find new life. The Ephesians passage, it's got a lot for us. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. The beginning of Ephesians talks about the grace of just the salvation from the things we've done wrong, and that none of us deserve that, and that God gives it to us. This grace is actually not talking about just forgiving your past, though. It's this idea of a gift given when you look at it in its context. So here, there's a promise to us that if you say, Jesus, I want to follow you, Jesus is going to give you something that only he could give. He's going to give you a gift that when you use it with other people, as we'll see in the context here, we can start looking like Jesus' fullness together. So there's some part of Jesus. He puts himself in Nate. When Nate is following Jesus, Jesus will put a piece of himself in Nate that's not in me. And it's only when Nate and I and Wayne and others start to work together that Jesus is fully realized to the people we're around, right? That people can really see Jesus. Because there's a piece of Jesus in Jessica that's not in Earl, and vice versa. Like he puts different gifts in each one of us to bring us together. Some of you are here today and you need to hear that. That Maywood cannot be Jesus' fullness without you. Like it's not by chance that you're in this room. Jesus has a plan for your life. It's to forgive you, but it's also to put a piece of himself in you. And so, you know, we need Dawn just as much as we need Josie, just as much as we need Sam, right? Like, we're not independent of each other. And we all, if you know me very well, you know, like, I'm not the total package, right? So you know that, like, we're not Jesus without each other, right? And Christ apportions it. He gives it how he wants to. We don't get to decide what gifts we have. Verse 8. This is why it said, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. He took us, he captivated us, but he also took us out of bondage and he gave us gifts. Verse 9. What does he ascended mean except for that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? What this verse is getting to is that Jesus has gone higher than any other force. Jesus is the ultimate authority. We see that again. But this passage also reminds us that Jesus went down into the muck and the mire for us. You have never gone somewhere so low that Jesus would not be willing to go down there and get you. But unlike everybody else with good intentions in your life, Jesus can go above and beyond anything in glory or power. Because there's probably been somebody else with good intentions that wanted to help you out of the muck and the mire, and they couldn't pull it off. Jesus not only has the compassion, he has the power to save you. So that's what this is getting at. Verse 10. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Jesus does not want your life to just be a little bit better. Jesus wants to fill everything with his life. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. This is talking about leaders to the church. So God's given us Coach Daniel for a particular purpose. He's given us Coach Wayne for a particular purpose. He's given you guys, me, for a particular purpose. And it's in verse 12. To equip Jesus' people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So the reason we got into this whole coach title, it's not that coach is a perfect word, and it's not that pastor is even a bad word, but it starts a lot of conversations about this verse. Because Wayne and Daniel and I, we all have job descriptions, but the reality is Jesus' job description for us has one bullet point of Jake, as a leader of Maywood, did you equip other people to serve me? It's never supposed to be about me being a central show or central star. It's about us being the body of Christ together. And when you judge your leaders at church and think, like, should this person be leading or should that person be leading, that's what the standard that Ephesians gives us is, do we equip other people? Verse 13 tells us what happens when we're getting equipped and serving together. And it gets big. The dream is bigger than I could put it into words. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So what unifies us? It's not that we like the same sports team, even though most of us like the Chiefs, you know, myself included. But that's not what unifies us. It's not that we all live in the same place. It's not that we all went to the same dark alley. It's not any one thing that unifies us except what? That we put our faith in Jesus and that we know Jesus. That's what unifies us. And when we do that together and become mature, here's how crazy it gets. It says attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 1 says Jesus fills everything in every way. He wants us, the church, to be his fullness. Not that Maywood all by ourselves, there's other churches that God wants to use, but here at Maywood, he wants us to be like his fullness in this neighborhood. So those last three, or those three slides again, or those 3 points, if we go to that. Jesus is Lord, Jesus saved and gave, we spread Jesus together. Where's the first fruits that I talked about? Well, I want to ask you guys to have some courage, okay? I know literally everybody hates this when I do this, so I don't do it lightly. I was about to say I'm sorry, but I'm about to do it, so that would be like hypocritical. I don't do it lightly, I can say that at least. So, but sometimes a good leader pushes you to do what you don't want to do so you can be who you want to be, right? It's a quote about coaching, I think. I don't know who said it. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk around. I'm going to walk around the room, and I've got another microphone here. And I want us to give short little testimonies because that's the first fruit for the rest of Maywood to hear. And here's what I want you to do. You don't have to tell us your whole life story. But tell us one of these things. Say, here's how Jesus is Lord in my life, because here's something I'm doing that I would never have done if Jesus wasn't my boss. And it's not prideful. We all know we make mistakes. But give glory to God. Say, here's something that I do, because somebody could say I'm paying child support because God wants me to submit to the government. What, I mean, just tell us something real that you're doing because Jesus is the Lord of your life. Or tell us something Jesus gave you. Maybe there's a gift that you have that's not, you know it's not from you, but you know Jesus can use it. Or tell us some way that you've seen at Maywood, maybe you weren't even a part of it, but you saw Jesus use multiple people at Maywood to help somebody have a new life, right? So you get to pick one of the three. I won't make you answer just one right on the spot. So I know right here in the front pew, you guys have had a lot this year, but what is one of the ways that Jesus has either been Lord this year, or you've seen him spread, or he's given you a gift?
This is very, very difficult.
So that's that yellow mic, if we could turn it up quite a bit.
We're all here, and that's like, yeah.
Hold it real. Many of you who have been around long enough, two and a half years to see us coming in, no, I stumbled in here, drug addicted and hurt. And God turned my life over in a way that I'm seeking him first in all of the decisions that I make these days. And recently it really, really paid off that today I've got my whole family here plus. And it seems like every week we get a chance to bring more people in. Unfortunately, many of them don't show back, but we've at least cast those seeds. And my daughter, Tiffany, here was just recently involved in a terrible accident. And her friend, PJ, here sitting beside her, was actually killed in that accident. And Life Flight brought him back to life. And we're a living, living testimony of God's love for all of his people. In Jesus' name, I give all the glory. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And I know a lot of Maywood folks praying for Tiffany and PJ both, so it's awesome to see it here. So, April, I'm coming to you next.
How did I just knew you were going to call me. So, Jesus saved and gave. Not a lot of you really know a lot about me and my life before, but about maybe 8-9 years ago, actually, 10 years, matter of fact, the Lord literally saved my life. I overdosed on medications, and I don't remember going to the hospital. I didn't wake up till like a week later. And ever since that day, I had lost my kids. They were in the foster care system for a year. But he saw fit and that thought I was worthy enough to save me from the depression that I was in. And he brought me back, and I worked really hard to get my kids back in that whole year, and never lost sight of the fact that, man, he didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, he did not have to do any of these things for me. But at that point, I was so low, and I remember saying, you know, Lord, I can't do any of it. I can't do any of it on my own anymore. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm giving everything to you and only want to do what you want me to do, Lord. Just something's got to give and something's got to change, and it has to be me. And I'm here, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and he gave me this gift to be able to sing, and I got my kids back. I got married. But yeah, he saved my life, and he gave me more than I could ever expect.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. So Jerry, can I put you on the spot, man? Just a way that Jesus is Lord of your life, something you do, or a way that you've seen Jesus be spread with other people?
I got here in 2016, broken with my addiction, drugs, alcohol, everything. I made it to, from inpatient treatment, I made it to Maple House, men's recovery. And then a couple of weeks after that, I started coming here to Maywood. And what brought me to the Maple House, I found out within a couple of weeks, was the Lord. And so starting to get to work with a sponsor on the steps. And then I knew I needed to learn more about God and who he was, who the devil was, and just to get some confirmation on things. Because on my last relapse, he did show up to bring me this far. And he has really turned my life around. Everything's, you know, he took all the weight off my shoulders and allowed me to experience life with him. Through him and about him, and it was all about me. And now it's about helping others and to spread the good word. This is possible to get when all seems lost. It is not all lost. It is. It's what am I trying to say? I lost the word. It is. It's possible to come back out of a really dark place of like insanity, you know. We don't think we can come back, but there is a way back.
Yeah.
Right. Praise, and praise the Lord.
So Beth, I know you're trying to avoid my eye a little bit, but Beth, can I put you on the spot?
Oh goodness.
Mary, I'm sorry. Beth is your daughter. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mary.
That's okay. It's been a rough couple of years. Everybody knows 2 years ago we lost Joy's husband, Carl. And Joy was unemployed at the time, and she had to move back home. So now she and her two children are living in our house. Also, Beth and Stan are still living at home until they can get their house. So it's tight at our house, and things do get stressful, as they do in most families. But with God's help and his mercy and grace, we make it through every day. And there's not a day that we do not give thanks. The children sit at the dinner table. At night, we all have dinner together. And if we forget to pray, they're right there hollering, "We need to pray." And they will not eat dinner until we say our blessing.
Yeah.
And But God is helping us make it through. And with his grace and mercy, we'll get there. Thank you.
And I had the opportunity to see Ken and Mary in their neighborhood talking to neighbors about new life in Jesus. And neighbors, some of them knew them and didn't know them, but they've continued to pray for and be a light right there in their neighborhood in the midst of a lot of other responsibilities. So it's been cool to see. Judy, you give your heart to the kids, and I don't know which one of these you want to share. I know Jesus has gifted you, but I want to give you a chance to share.
Didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I helped teach the Sunday school class with the children, and I noticed how these kids love their Bible verses and how they learn so much about God. Recently, I asked him about if we could bring any children up to share what they're learning or a Bible verse. Just haven't decided what child that would be yet, but I think God will lead me to the right kid. And I just love the kids, and I love what they share, and sometimes they teach me stuff. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, Judy was challenging me the other day about we spread Jesus together, that we need to see more little kids up on stage and see God using them. It was really good. So, Jason, can I come over to you? I'm going to skirt through. Yeah. I know you love it. I know. Everybody loves it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't like doing this, and I don't like when Jake does it, but it's good for a church to do this because 11 years ago I came to this church, and I grew up in church, and I got saved at a young age, but nobody really had relationships. We just seen each other on Sundays, and everybody was fine. Nobody had any problems. But so about 11 years ago, I came here against my will. My wife, her friend went to church here, and she's like, I just want to go check out my friend's church. And I'm like, okay, I really don't want to do that. And I said, we got a church. Why would we want to go to your friend's church? And so I did, and like I said, I was saved when I came here, but this church was teaching obedience to Jesus, and I had kind of lived Christianity my own way. Just, you know, I got saved for fire insurance, but I really didn't want to do things Jesus' way. So Jesus taught me here, you know, how to live obediently and through the people and the relationships that I've made. Thank you, Jesus.
So Sean, I'm coming over to you, man. So tell us a way that Jesus is Lord, that he's saved you, that he's given you something, that spreading Jesus together. What do you see?
So Jesus took me from being addicted to drugs and being in prison my whole life to 6 months sober and the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Joan, can I come to you? I'll let Joan tell me no if she wants to be honest. But
well, God has just blessed me so much with family, but also with a church family that are very free to express their love, very free to offer help to anyone who needs it. And I want to be a part of that, and I'm blessed to get to be a little part of it.
We go to Ernie here.
Thanks, Jake.
Yep.
I've been blessed by all these people in here. They never gave up on me, you know, and I struggle at times, but I'm grateful for this church. Every time I look up and see that cross up there, I think of Josh. Yeah. And Pastor Bob and you, thank you guys for being there for me. God bless you.
Brian, I'm going to put you on the spot, man. Yeah.
Sorry. I just want to give thanks and glory to Jesus, man.
One time I was in prison, my mom come down with breast cancer, and I went back on a parole violation. And I remember being in the cell and just crying out to God, please don't take my mom while I'm here. Please don't take her. Just in that fear, you know. And this is, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And he sent somebody right then and there, man, right there to the diagnostic center to that came in the wing and asked whose mother's got cancer that just quit smoking. And he pulled me off to the side and he told me that my mom was going to be healed from cancer. And it freaked me out so bad that I ran to the phone and I called her, and she never worried again, and she was healed from breast cancer. And this last year she came back down with not prostate cancer, but colon cancer. And went up, they took that out, and they did a biopsy. It went over in her lymph nodes, and this all is going down at the same time I'm starting my business, which God has obviously been there, because I wasn't prepared to start my business, but he obviously has been in the midst of this. But she just went back. It's been 6 months later, and she's been healed, man, again. And she does not have cancer, and it's all gone. But the cool thing about this is, in all of her uncertainty and all of my uncertainty and all this, man, it's just me and her's got a relationship. Like, she's able to minister to me from God through her to me into my life, the things that she's never, ever showed me in my life. And, you know, it's just unbelievable where we're both at with trying to follow God together, man. It's just been amazing. And I just love this church, man. Without Josh Monk and showing us how to walk through the fire, man, I wouldn't be here. That I passed.
In my Sunday school class today, somebody was sharing that they were jealous of other people they saw at Maywood because they saw God doing so much in their life. And we talked a little bit about that. Is it healthy to be jealous of somebody else or not? And as you hear all that stuff, maybe you're thinking, well, what about my family member, or what about my situation, or how come God hasn't done that in my life? But we share these things that God has done because it is just a taste of what God wants to do. The promises we saw are real. Jesus really is with us. Jesus really has called us to bring new life to other people. And he really has gifted us in all the ways we need, that if we work together, we could be his fullness here. But if you heard something today and you're thinking, man, I want that story in my life, when that person in Sunday school was talking about jealousy, it reminded me of when I was first in Mexico. I didn't want to learn Spanish at all because I thought I was too dumb. Literally thought I was too dumb to learn Spanish, and I just thought it didn't matter. I could help people without being able to speak their language. Well, the second summer I was there, Dustin was doing the same job as me, this other guy right beside me. Except for he was fluent in Spanish. And I got to see how he could just make people instantly feel loved because he could speak their language. And something in me was like, I want that. And the reality is Dustin was a lot smarter than me at Spanish. He learned it a lot faster. I wasn't meant to be Dustin. But that hunger in me to be able to speak Spanish so people would know I cared about him, that was a good thing. So trying to be somebody else isn't right, because Jesus gives it to each one of us as he apportioned it. He had a different plan for Dustin than he did for me. But if you saw something in your day that's Jesus, it's okay to be hungry for more of Jesus in your life. It's okay to say, I want to go through whatever I have to go through to have more of Jesus in me, to be able to have that sort of thing happen in my life. So I've run us out of time, so I'm sorry for that. We're not going to do our regular response time, but here's what I want us to do as a church. If you guys would stand up with me, we're going to pray standing. If you can stand, if you can't stand, that's okay. But I believe with all my heart that these vision passages are what we're supposed to be about. And earlier today, I still have those keys next to my heart, right? They're not helping anybody, right? Somebody says, are they your keys? Okay, well, come up and get them then. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so this is Nick's keys. So this is a perfect response illustration for us. Okay, so now it helps, right? Because they're in the right spot, right? So here's the deal. Like, if it just stays Jake's heart, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't help anybody, right? Today, you guys brought stories about what Jesus has done. We got to hear a little bit about the power of God to go with the Word of God, right? And so what I want us to do as a church is I want us to pray. I'm going to lead us, but if you're a part of it, I want you to say amen at the end of it, okay? And I'm just going to pray real simply, Jesus, we accept. And I'm going to say these verses for us, okay? And when I say all these verses, then I'm going to say, and all may was said, and that's your guys' chance to say amen, okay? So let's bow our heads and listen and pray. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And all may would said, amen. Amen.